Hey, Ash.
Hey, Taryn.
You know, it's been a while since we've done fun facts with Taryn.
Has it been?
Fun fact or fiction, whatever it's called. This one actually, like, got my mind going.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that your nostrils only work one at a time?
No.
Listen to this. Listen. When we breathe in and out of our nose during the day, one nostril does most of the work at a time, with the duties switching every several hours. This is so, like, it's your nasal cycle. So, like, every few hours, it switches jobs. So when your nose gets stuffed up, it's usually one at a time, which is so true.
I was going to say that actually makes a lot of sense to me, because some days I'm a mouth breather and some days I'm not. And that's because the left side of my nose, like, doesn't work. It's, like, not concave fully, but, like, it doesn't work well. My right side, I feel like, breathes well all the time.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Isn't that fascinating?
Very.
Wow. The human body is a wonder.
My God. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Hello. I'm Ashley. That's Taryn.
How are you, Ash?
I'm doing so good. You know what I did yesterday for the first time ever?
What?
I didn't know I was doing this, but it happened. I went to my first, like, 4D real D experience.
Oh.
I've never done one before. A riot. An actual riot. I had so much fun.
Wait, like, what? Describe.
So I went to go see Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. and didn't know that we got the 4D real D experience tickets.
It is a you're ride. Talking about... in a movie.
Yeah.
Like 4D in a movie.
Yes. So I went to go see a movie, unintentionally bought these tickets.
The 4D.
Where the chairs 3D. Move and they vibrate
oh,
and
shut
they go up.
Up
and down. Yeah.
I didn't
and
know that was
a thing.
And they shake
you. It sprayed water in my face.
What?
I was wearing, it was 3D. So it was, I did not realize that this is where we were at with movies. I had no idea. I felt like I was on a Disney ride the entire time.
Bug's Life. Remember Bug's Life? At Disneyland, it does that where it, like, shoots
oh,
stuff at
yes.
you and then the bugs are crawling
yes.
under your seat.
Like,
stuff
Honey,
like that.
I Shrunk the Audience. Very similar, except
wow.
the chairs actually move. Like,
I didn't know that was
move.
A thing. Where did you go? What theater?
Regal.
What?
Yeah, it was. I was like, wow, these are pretty expensive. Got two tickets for $60.
Well,
and I was like, we were like, oh.
First
sure.
clue.
I must have been really nice chairs. That's all I was thinking.
Wow.
And then, yeah, did the full experience. And then, as with, like, any Marvel movie, there's so much action. So
yeah.
the entire time, I had to take my earrings out because it was bouncing my head back and forth
Seriously?
So much. Yeah, it was like, these earrings are kind of heavy. So I was feeling it.
Yeah.
like
that affects you.
You know, 3 hours later in the movie, you're just like, oh my God, it was kind of a lot.
That's
but,
interesting.
I saw the trailer, one of the trailers for Maverick, Top Gun's Maverick.
Yes.
And I just in the trailer was like, I could never watch that movie in this seat because it was just nonstop moving.
Oh, the flying
yeah.
and stuff like that.
It was
yeah.
constant.
I feel like, yeah, there would be very specific types of movie that would be enjoyable versus
yeah.
like you feel motion
like
sick.
At least with Marvel, like there's times where they're just sitting and talking and it's
yeah.
it's quiet for a bit, but
the fight
long
scenes.
Fight scenes come, I was like whiplash much.
Okay, so I heard someone, I still haven't seen Doctor Strange, which I need to because that was like one of
you
my
do.
Favorite Marvel movies.
I just, that was my second time seeing it.
But I heard it's like one of the most violent Marvel movies that's come out. Like someone said they were kind of thrown off by the...
Obviously no spoilers, but it was dark and I didn't realize, or I didn't expect it to be dark.
Yeah, they said it was like dark in a way that they were like, I was kind of freaked out.
Yeah, I don't think it was that scary. You can handle
yeah.
it, no problem. But I was surprised. I was like, oh.
Interesting.
Interesting. Sure.
Cool. What is my update?
No pressure.
Oh, I feel like I've been very obsessed with nesting, like my apartment.
Oh, I was like, are we pregnant? Are we expecting?
I would have to be... The Virgin Mary.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Modern day Virgin Mary. I feel like I've had my apartment for a few months now, but
yeah,
life has just been nuts, like crazy busy. So every weekend I feel like there's something where I'm gone, or I'm going to a music festival, or going on vacation, or going on a trip. Like, so during the week when I get home, I just want to chill and do nothing. So certain things, like I'm still decorating, I'm still trying to find ways that things function right. And so I've been, and I tend to get very very into making sure that everything is super functional in the apartment, and I get obsessed with it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been doing that a lot, and things are definitely starting to feel complete now, which is exciting. So that's been kind of my life. Like, I just want to like dive in, and so I can be done. That's how I feel.
Yeah. So I love that.
You'll have to come over, Ganesh.
Oh.
See the spot.
I should come over and bake cookies.
I would love a cookie kick. You should like show your recipe, like make up your recipe and share it. People would love that.
Never.
No?
No. I probably will.
Nestle Toolhouse.
I'll run out of a reels.
Yeah.
Watch next week. I'll be like, hey guys, just gonna share my
my cookie recipe.
On a real note, I'm at this place with social media. I kind of
what?
I don't wanna say hate it, but I'm over it phase right now. And
why?
We've all been there. I don't know. I'm just at a point now. I've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Almost 8 years. And
when you say hate, like you hate going on it, both. Like it's affecting you like in a bad way.
I don't even go on and scroll anymore.
I
don't
besides
even
TikTok.
Go on and look at stories anymore, really. Unless I'm on there to post for work.
Yeah.
You know, but I just feel like it's so stale and repetitive.
Well, you know,
and
why
I don't want to post anymore, because I feel like I've done everything original that I have in my pocket that I am capable of. And then I feel like everything on social media is just so redundant. Like everyone's doing the same things. I'm tired of seeing your morning routine. I'm tired of seeing like your fitness outfit.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. I'm posting the same shit.
No, yeah.
But like I'm just in a weird place with work and posting and social media, and I haven't like intentionally taken time off, but I have backed off.
Yeah. I've noticed you backed off. And
I just feel weird about it.
I will say though, like I don't like scrolling anymore on Instagram, because when I do scroll, it's all videos, and it's all from platforms and sites that I'm like, why are you pushing this content so much? Like, I don't even see people I follow's like photos or what they're up to. So I scroll for like 20 seconds, and all I'm seeing is like 50 videos from Barstool Sports or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. At some point within the last 3 years, I feel like we went from there's a small group of influencers to now everyone's an influencer, which I'm not hating on.
But
that does mean you scroll through a lot of ads.
Yeah.
A lot of curated content, brand content. And I'm bored.
Yeah. I just miss like scrolling through and seeing like my friends' pictures of their weekend or their kids or their dog. Like everything is a video of something that I'm like, I feel like I'm on TikTok right now. I just want to see
I feel like the select few
people that I follow for a reason.
The algorithm is like forcing the same type of content, which I understand to a degree. Like I'm sure they're trying to figure out what content you like, and they're trying to give that to you.
Yeah.
But also probably I think personally forgetting like what the purpose of this platform was to begin with. And I agree. I feel like, and I think it's a worldwide thing. I feel like a lot of people just aren't posting anymore because of the redundancy of posting.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people that I've been sharing my life online for a really long time now. And I can't tell you the last time I saw something original.
Yeah.
Unless you're an actual artist or like photographer, it's all the same.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like sound like I'm hating on people. I'm putting myself in the same category. That's why I haven't been posting as much, because I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know what else to do anymore.
Yeah, you want to be inspired or like, yeah, just see. Well, I think it is. We want to see people's like their lives, like they're just like
authentic lives.
Things that go on day to day, not just like, yeah, the same old, same old. No, yeah. It's true. I feel that. I definitely don't scroll on Instagram. And so every once in a while, like someone, if I do see a post of someone's and like I'll go to their Instagram and I'll be like, oh my gosh, they've posted all these things, but I don't see any of that. Like I just literally, my feed is always Barstool Sports and it sucks because I like following some of the stuff they do, but it's gotten to a point where I'm like, I'm going to mute you because
it's
for
all
some
I
reason,
see.
That's because all Instagram nonstop. Is pushing through. Like it's none of the people I actually follow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is weird. Wow, this was a tangent. But I love it.
But a good one.
But you know, most people are like, oh my gosh, same.
Okay, let's go ahead and get into the Tearing It Up. You guys know we love a good funny story, and that's what Tearing It Ups are all about. So here is one that I think is going to give us a good little laugh. I'm not going to say the title because it gives away way too much.
Okay.
She is not anonymous. Her name is Kay.
Oh, hi, Kay.
She writes, Kay writes, I've complicated. Let me try that again. I've contemplated for a solid 5 minutes whether to say Ash and Taryn or Taryn and Ash. So I'll just go with this. Hi, girls. LOL.
Hey.
My name is Kay, and you are more than welcome to say it if this story gets chosen to be read for the podcast. I listen to UA nearly every night as I'm falling asleep. Shoot, as in parentheses, weird? Maybe, but it helps, LOL. Sure.
I love that.
Whatever gets you to sleep.
Yeah,
My current thing is commercial airliner on the Calm app for sleeping.
Commercial air. Oh, like it makes airplane noises?
Yeah. I used to listen to Rain religiously and have since then, for the last like 5 months, listened to commercial airliner. A winner, guys.
I've heard people listen to... there's like dishwasher or like dryer or stuff like that. I've never
so that's why I like the commercial airliner because it's a low hum with very subtle little like beeps and kind of creaks and stuff. That's very much like, and when I'm on a plane, I'm so tired. I fall asleep with so
fast. I knock
fast.
Out too.
It's so great. Okay. Anyways, I don't think it's weird is what I'm saying. You were actually my most listened podcast in 2021. You've got a big fan on your hands over here. Taryn, your recent YouTube series has inspired me beyond belief to be more confident in my physical body and prioritize my mental health. So thank you both for being you.
I love that.
Now, on to my story. Some background info. As I mentioned, my name is Kay. I am a senior undergraduate student graduating this year. Whoop, whoop.
Get it, girl.
Majoring in dance education and early childhood education. I hope to teach in either pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, or first grade and incorporate creative movement and kinesthetic opportunities in my classroom. I heavily prioritize allowing children to express and indulge in their very natural physical energy that is so often condemned in school environments.
Like that. Yeah, okay. This is, I mean, you are barking up my tree, girl. This is like my geeky side comes out. I love that.
We love it. Amazing. She writes, anyways, this story took place in my modern dance class in November of 2020. I was very fortunate to have my dance courses in person at this time when so many students were learning virtually. However, this day, I wish that we were virtual.
Uh-oh.
I got dressed for class in a pair of my favorite seamless leggings. Now, this may be TMI, but it's crucial information to the story. I don't wear underwear with my seamless leggings, and I'm not sorry about it. It's just not comfortable to me. I lived close enough to campus where I could walk to class. However, in New England, and with it being November, it was at least 20 degrees outside. So at the very last minute, I decided to throw some sweatpants on over my leggings to walk to class. She adds in parentheses, thank God. We started every class with a whole group warm-up stretch led by our professor. It was the same thing every class, so I had the routine nearly memorized by now. We got to the point in our warm-up where we are all sitting in a straddle position, legs open to the side to stretch our inner thighs. The top of my legs rolled down a bit, so I bent to adjust them. When I looked in the mirror and saw a gaping hole in the crotch of my leggings. And just to remind you, I don't wear underwear with my seamless leggings. Immediately closed my legs and froze. I had no idea what to do. My whole hoo-ha was literally out. I ran to my backpack and threw on my sweatpants that I had almost decided against before leaving my apartment. I don't think any of my fellow classmates noticed because we were all so spread out due to COVID restrictions at the time. However, my professor had been circling the room and walked by me multiple times that day, and I had no idea how long my leggings had been ripped. So there's a pretty good chance my professor got to know me on a whole new level that day. I finished my class in my sweatpants and immediately called my mom to tell her what happened as soon as I walked out of the dance studio. She was laughing so hard that she physically choked. To this day, I still don't know for sure if my professor saw. Maybe I'll finally get the courage to ask now that I'm graduating, haha. And no, I still don't wear underwear with my seamless leggings. It's just not comfortable. So if my leggings rip and people see my hoo-ha, well, there you go. Thank you, girls, for taking the time to read my story. I hope it was entertaining for you, as it has been for everyone else that I've told it to. I know you guys both like pictures, so I've attached one.
Oh, my gosh. You are gorgeous. Beautiful.
There she is. I mean, I think it's safe to say your professor 1,000% saw and just didn't know what to say.
I mean, unless,
she said
yeah.
Circled the room multiple times and, like, helped the girl stretch.
Usually you would help him. Oh, yeah, maybe you do.
I mean, if it were me, I wouldn't know what to say.
Like, the female organ down there is just not ever something that I feel like anyone would want to, like, make eye contact with.
Yeah.
It's so not, like, if it's your butt or, like, your butt crack or something, like, even that is like, oh, haha, embarrassing. But, like,
but that's
yeah.
What I mean is I feel like if there was a hole that was around her butt area, I'd be more inclined to be like, oh, honey.
Yeah.
But that's such a private thing that I wouldn't really know, especially as a professor, what to say. Because you're like I don't know. It's risky and I wouldn't know what to do. So I wouldn't be shocked if professor saw. Dear God.
That's so awkward.
Oh, hopefully so it's titled, I think my professor saw my lady bits.
Hopefully it was, like, I mean, I think you would feel like a breeze down there. So hopefully it wasn't like, it was like a newer one.
I'm assuming it was newer and I say this because if you put sweatpants over, I feel like you would feel that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on how baggy your sweatpants are.
Yeah.
But I feel like you would feel the fabric.
Some friction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Oof. I have never been one that can, like, free ball it. Like, I just don't like the feeling at all. Like, I cannot. I've never been able to.
Really?
And I remember it was funny. Like, there was, like, this period of time in high school where, you know, like, when you're younger, like, all of a sudden something's cool. Like, out of nowhere, it'll be like, oh, everyone's wearing, like, this type of thing. Or, like, everyone, like, you know, in 21 Jump Street, it's like, no, it's one shoulder. Oh, now two shoulders is cool with the backpack. Yeah, yeah. Like, there was a period of time where I don't know if it's, like, girls are trying to seem, like, sexy, but they would say, like, oh, I'm not wearing any underwear. So I remember, like, being like, I'm going to not wear underwear. And it was the most miserable day of my life. I hated it. I hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like the feeling.
I mean, I don't know.
You
I do it.
You're
a
free baller.
I like it, but I don't. It's not. I do think it's something that you can't do it in jeans. You can't. There's specific ways you can and can't do it. And obviously for girls, you can only. It's hard.
Yeah.
On certain times of the month.
Yeah.
But we're getting off track here.
What are we talking about? Hi, Dad. No, I'm just kidding.
90% of the time, I'm just lounging at home or running errands.
Yeah,
I'm not, like, anywhere. Ouch. Out.
We get it. Okay. It's fine. Jeez. Okay.
Why are we?
Okay. Getting to know Taryn and Ashley.
On a whole new level.
Whole new level.
Should we take a poll about this later?
Yeah.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a one-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com. I'm going to get into my story. And this is going to be interesting because this is actually a very close friend.
Oh, shoot.
Which
drama.
The second I start reading it, you're going to know who I'm talking about, Ash.
Oh, interesting.
So it'll be interesting because I feel like obviously I've already given my friend advice.
Yes.
But like, it'll be interesting if there's a difference how we give advice when we like know personally and know the story.
Yeah.
Versus like where we're trying to be careful of like what we can and can't say, you know?
Right. 100%.
Because she said she was going to write in and I was like, okay.
Do you think, girl?
The world's going to know. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Hi, ladies. I love you both very much.
Ah!
We love you too.
I don't know who it is.
I'm writing to ask for advice about something I never thought I would need help with.
Ooh.
I had been with my boyfriend for roughly 7, 8, might as well have been 9 years. We've known each other for 9, but had 2 periods of breaks over that time. He recently ended our relationship because of 2 reasons. One, he doesn't know who he is anymore, and he needs to focus on finding that out. 2, he no longer wants to get married ever or have kids, a family. I think that as sudden as this was, we were at a point where it was either get engaged or break up. I just never saw the breaking up as a reality. Now that it is, I'm struggling in weird ways. I deal with intense physical anxiety symptoms when I'm in a bad place, and the last month has been a lot. I think my body knew my life was shifting before he or I ever did. I was in pain every day for weeks from daily panic attacks, and it even manifested in extremely high fevers that took me out for almost a week. The only thing that healed me was my relationship ending. I was able to finally get all the answers to questions I had been fearing for so long. I finally had clarity and my pain went away and hasn't come back. For so long, I felt like he didn't love me and I was doing all that I could to fix that or change what I felt was quote unquote off. When in reality, he was struggling as well and just had to get to a place where he could see clearly and realize what he wanted and needed for himself. It sucks that it doesn't line up with what I want or how I thought our lives were going to play out, but here we are. Some time has gone by now. He has moved out of our house we lived in. We have met up once to discuss logistics that we still have together. We share a phone bill, a storage unit, and our 3-year-old dog.
The dog.
Yeah. We both want what's best for him because we have always treated him like our own child. He even acts like a human too. My ex wants to continue financially helping and splitting costs as well as being a part of his life. He wants to co-parent as much as possible so that his life isn't completely thrown off. I'm okay with that. My biggest fear was that he would want nothing to do with the dog and be gone forever. I think we can actually co-parent and make it work. It's just a weird thing to adjust to. The other issue we came across was our friend group. We share the same friends. His friends are married to mine, and we are a part of our friends' kids' lives. It's all connected. We sat down together and talked at length about what we want. He doesn't want to be out of my life for good. He wants to try to coexist. He wants to be able to be at birthday parties and get-togethers with all of our friends and be okay. I agreed because I think I do want that. I don't want to shut someone out that's been a part of my life for almost a decade. Is that bad? I think the thing that guided me the most during this conversation was how I physically felt during it. I had zero anxiety. My heart didn't even race when I saw him. I was calm, aside from not being able to stop tearing up when we talked about our dog. I've never experienced this much peace during a breakup. I think what I need advice on is how do I tackle starting over now? I'm turning 32 soon, and I thought I would be married by the time I was 33. I had someone I was living with, and now I'm almost 32 living with my mom and two younger brothers. I feel like I've started over, and that's the part I'm struggling with the most. It's terrifying out in the world, and I was so happy and content where I was. I hope this makes sense considering I'm still not even sure how I feel, how I'm feeling, and what I'm thinking. Thank you for listening, and I appreciate you both so much.
Oof. 9 years.
It's so hard watching anyone go through a breakup, but I still remember exactly where I was when she texted me what happened, and I physically just felt sick to my stomach because when you get like that kind of front row seat in someone's life, mm-hmm. you know, like you're so sad for the things that make them sad. So to watch a friend go through a breakup is just, it's so hard to yeah. know exactly what to say, what they need, because you want to say things that are going to make them feel better, but what's the typical response? Like, you're going to be okay, you're yeah. so strong, like, this just means someone better is out there, and all those yeah. things are so true, but in the moment, it just doesn't help.
Well, again, 9 years. This isn't yeah. someone that broke up after 6 months or a year, where you know, they liked each other and that was really yeah. it. Like this person intertwined her life with someone else for 9
yeah.
years that she's mourning something. Yeah. It's not a little breakup. Even like a 3-year relationship doesn't compare to what this girl's going through. Yeah. Like it's completely different. And sometimes I think with stuff like this, it's better to not say anything.
Yeah.
Because it's a loss.
Yeah.
And it's almost better to just be there.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to say, really.
And it's, you know, it's funny because, you know, every breakup is different, right? Mm-hmm. Like every breakup has a different core reason why a relationship is ending. And with this one, you know, obviously, like, my initial response was, like, I'm going to kill him, you know? And she, like, you know, laughed with me, all those things. But it's hard when the breakup comes from something like this where it's not – I think it's almost – it's easier when they cheat or they, like
– when they're douchebags and it's
– yeah, it's you're so like, much fine. Easier to you're just the hate them and to, like, be like, don't ever come around me. But I think for this, you know, obviously we've had vent sessions. We've had sessions where she's crying and like wishing like well for him. But, you know, for me, I think the part that I have the hardest time with in this situation is how do you let something get 9 years into it where you're basically planning to propose before you have these ginormous realizations.
Yeah.
Like, not only just, like, I get that I don't really know myself, and I think that there are relationships that you can successfully take breaks if they're productive. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I would be like, oh, you feel like you need some self-discovery. Like, why don't you, like, take a month, like, take a trip, do what you gotta do. Like, I'll give you some space to work through what you're doing, go to counseling, like talk to your friends, whatever. Cause obviously if I'm with a person, I want to support whatever growth they need.
Right. And 9 years, you are going to 9 years down the road, be with someone different than who you started out the relationship
yes,
with.
Yes. Yes. But for you to be 9 years into a relationship where you're constantly talking about your future, getting married, having kids, like you basically already are like have this family unit. You mm-hmm. live together. You have this dog that you consider your kid. And then to throw out, oh, by the way, I don't ever see myself getting married or having kids. Mm-hmm. Like that is the biggest like mind where like how can you not just sit there and be like, what is happening?
Well, I think that
what is happening
that goes to show that this is on him.
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah,
this guy clearly. Let's say that this feeling of not wanting to get married has, let's pretend it's like always been there. That means he's physically been like pushing off these mm-hmm. feelings for years.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is not fair.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's cruel.
Totally.
That's cruel. And if that's the person who this guy is, then Anonymous dodged a mother forking bullet.
Yeah.
Like if imagine being in a marriage with someone who is constantly pushing off
and like issues, resenting
real yeah. issues mm-hmm. you know, if he just now came to the realization that he doesn't want to be married and have kids even though he's had conversations yeah. with you, then that just goes to show the type of person he actually is. He could be a great person,
yeah,
but he is nowhere near ready for a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And he's just now figuring that out.
Yeah.
Okay. How old are we?
And also,
that's something you yeah. figure out pretty early on,
or
and way before
from,
9 years.
Yeah, it comes from like something crazy happening to where you're like, oh, I don't think I want this.
Yeah,
you know?
And if you don't see yourself being with someone, you figure that out year one, year two.
Yeah,
you know, if you're pushing 4 years. You're basically saying, okay, I want to live life with you.
Yeah.
You know, like we get along. Everything's working. Like I'm in this. 9?
Yeah.
There might as well be a ring on your finger.
I feel like too, for I'm not undermining what he's saying in his emotions.
No. Clearly,
you know, guys, I'm.
Homeboy has feelings.
I am practicing so much restraint by trying to be professional in the way that I'm addressing this. Because right now, I am a friend who is watching a friend be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care, like, what is the mature whatever. When Mama Bear comes out, she's going for blood and to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having a hard time, but I will restraint. I'm not undermining his feelings. And if that really is the way he feels, then obviously, like, I feel for him because I think he's got a lot of searching and he's trying to figure out himself. But I also know him and I have a really hard time believing that that is his future. Like, I see him as a husband. I see him as being a great dad. So I just feel like... To me, I think sometimes we go through these identity things in our life. And to me, I feel like this was a very rash, like, okay, I don't think I want any of this and I'm throwing it out.
Mm-hmm.
Versus being like, okay, I've spent 9 years cultivating a relationship. Maybe I need to take a step back and do some like figuring
Fair.
Out.
Yeah.
Which like maybe you need to get your own apartment and like start dating again. Maybe you need to like,
maybe you guys got comfortable.
Yeah, or maybe
like,
there are some serious issues there that like we've got to discuss. But for me, what I have a hard time with is this poor girl for months has been feeling something's off and he's been dismissing her. So she's like having anxiety, she's feeling this tension, she's feeling separation. And when you are in a relationship, you don't have a right to just like drag someone along while you figure stuff out without bringing them into the light of what's going on.
Well, exactly. And if he, let's say he did just all of a sudden start feeling this way, for him to drop and completely cut off this relationship out of nowhere, again, Anonymous dodged a mother forking bullet.
Yeah.
Like if he can suddenly feel something and then just say peace out to you.
Yeah.
Then you don't want to build a life with this person to begin with.
Yeah.
And looking forward, I'm honestly, and I know this person, but nowhere near as close as Taryn knows this person. So maybe I have it from like more of an outsider's perspective because I don't know him that well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have been living your life around this person for 9
yeah.
years. You've been planning. You've been
decade.
Coordinating. You've been, every decision you've made for the last 9 years has involved this person.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, right now, you are given an opportunity to make the future whatever you want it to be. And I think this next, I mean, I will go ahead and say it. It's going to take you a while
mm-hmm.
to get over this. It's a long time. The next foreseeable future is about you pouring into yourself
yes.
and taking care of yourself and doing things you've always wanted and not having to report to anyone.
Yep.
Or include anyone or plan your life around anyone. If you want to go, like, for me, something that's always been healing for me has been traveling. If mm-hmm. you want to go to freaking Italy by yeah. yourself right now, guess what? You can. And you don't have to ask anyone for permission or yeah, approval.
Like, be crazy. Like, make stupid decisions. Like, have wake fun up, with your life. Yeah. yeah.
Wake up at like 4 a.m. Go to the beach and mm-hmm. journal just because. Yep. And don't tell anyone. You know, go for a drive at like midnight
yep.
and go like chase the moon. And don't yeah. tell a soul, because you don't have to, because you're an adult who's, you know, you can go by yourself and go live your life. Go listen to a record in your room on the floor and cry and yeah. don't have to tell anyone what's going on.
Yeah.
What a beautiful place to be in your life. And I think you might have possibly missed out on that for a while. And now you get to like feed into your soul. This is an eat, pray, love moment for you.
Yeah. I fully agree. And that's what's so hard is like when you're a friend of someone going through a breakup and you acknowledge what they're going through. But it is interesting when you're on the outside and you can see that perspective, because yeah. that's when I look at her and I look at, she has gone through so much in her life in these past few years. And I just see where like everything in her life is lining up towards these right directions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is a huge hit because that was one of the things lining up. Like they were set to be engaged within the year. Mm-hmm. That's a hit. But I think that also like, I think stuff has been orchestrating and getting together. And the fact that even like your body felt peace during this breakup, that what anyone else, like I would be like on the floor unconscious if someone said that to me. Right. But I think that this is a time where you need to focus on yourself. And I really admire the both of you for being like, oh, we're gonna co-parent. Still be in each other's lives. We're gonna still whatever. However, and yes, this is me being protective, but I've been in that place where I was like, oh yeah, this is fine. Like I'm just, everything will be fine. And I think sometimes that does so much more damage of you trying to force yourself into that when you have every right to just be mad and not want to see this person.
Yeah.
So I think that you really need to listen to yourself of what is right for you. And his feelings and his what he wants is no longer your obligation to care about.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You have zero responsibility for his feelings.
Yeah, obviously, like, you don't want to be a cruel human being, but at the same time, like, you need to do what's best for you. And if he's still picking up the dog or doing whatever, that's great. But I think your time of taking care of this person is done. Mm-hmm. And I think you need to focus on yourself and letting yourself heal and move forward.
Yeah. I think the idea of staying friends is sweet. I think it's very unrealistic.
Yeah.
I think, you know, after a certain amount of time, going to hang out at a friend's house and seeing him there is going to get really old really fast. You're not going to want to see him. Well, I don't see that going well at all.
Yeah.
So I don't think we should even plan for that. This is me
yeah.
speaking from my own personal experience. I would cut him off.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a to get back at him way or to make you feel better way, but to protect yourself, because even this might sound controversial, but even sharing the custody of the dog and like stuff like that, I wouldn't give him an opportunity to see you when doing that. Like if he wants to come like pick him up, like he can, but I think I would have to protect myself from seeing my ex.
Got it.
He needs to pick up the dog from a friend or from a family member, that's fine.
Yeah.
But like I wouldn't even allow myself interacting even because of the dog, because I personally would start looking forward to interacting, you know, or I would start daydreaming about,
yeah.
oh, well, I'm going to see him. I'm probably going to brush my hair or put on a little bit of lip
yeah,
gloss.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I want to put myself in that headspace? No.
Yeah.
So I personally recommend space before even entertaining the idea of maintaining a friendship.
And I will say she's handled this like a breeze. Like, she's been very mature and like, okay, we'll see each other. And she's doing great. Mm-hmm. But I do think that subconsciously, when you put yourself in positions, it's hard not to get your hopes up. Yes. It's hard not to be like,
wanting to look good,
maybe. Was he staring at me a little bit longer?
Did he touch my lower back a little longer than like normal, or did he like when he hugged me, was it a long like that puts you in such a vulnerable place.
Yeah. So I think with every breakup there needs to be a healthy amount of time that there's space
to prepare you for seeing each other.
Well, too, when you're trying to play it like, oh, we're cool and we're just like a normal couple and we're around, I think sometimes that makes you think you have to be in that headspace. And then when you're not, like when you're not feeling good, it's like you have this, you're trying to force yourself to just be fine and okay.
But I'm cool.
When
I'm
really
cool.
If you want to come to your friends and just talk crap about him, like you have the right to do that. That's like comes with the territory. So I just think this is such a hard situation, and I think I can see possibilities of you guys being in each other's lives and coexisting, but I do think that you deserve to give yourself space to just be with yourself and to not have to be reminded of him all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to remember.
Being a little protective.
Absolutely.
Of that beautiful heart, okay?
Yeah, and I think it's a really good thing to remember that what he did was very shitty.
Yeah.
It was poorly planned out, and essentially, if we're going to be blunt, he wasted 9 years of your life.
Well, so that's an interesting thing, because I know that like that feeling came up and was met with like just heartbroken of like, this wasn't a waste. Like, we had a beautiful life together. Mm-hmm. Things have just changed. And so that's a hard dynamic to, I think with any breakup, that's what comes up, is you feeling like, oh my, that's how I felt with my ex. Like 4 years of my life, like, and my prime years, like my college years, where I could have been like going out and meeting new people and doing all these things. And I spent all this time planning my life with you. And then now I'm like starting over from scratch.
Yeah.
So it's easy to feel that. But I think with time you start to see like, oh my gosh, I would have never gotten through the things that I went through if I didn't have this person by my side. And I was a person for them and at times they had. So it's like you tend to, when you get past it, be thankful for those times.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you're like, I literally thought I was done. And now I have to go date with this terrifying dating app age. Like, oof. No, thank you.
Yeah, she wasn't even a part of to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't
have
even a thing.
Fun with that. No,
was,
I've been joking with her
down,
about that.
It was what was that? Like... singles online internet.
Oh, it was nothing. You
one.
Just met people.
No, there was, what was it? What was it? I can't think. There was an old, like the original online dating site. It wasn't an app, like it was a site.
eHarmony?
Maybe. No, there was another one. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But like that's all that was around back then. And that was it, which is wild. But and maybe I should have worded it better. I'm not saying that your relationship was a waste.
Yes.
However,
you're like, that's a chunk of my life.
Where would your life be if you weren't planning it with someone else for 9 years? Who knows?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many, you know. So to a degree, I don't think we should downplay that there was something wasted. Maybe I still think you guys had a beautiful relationship and that's great and you learned from it and all of those things. But he still... I don't think we should take away what he did, and it was very cruel of what he did was wrong.
This was a
massive
curveball.
I'm glad you finally came out with it, but like he handled that so wrong, and I don't think we should diminish what he did, and I think we should really give ourselves space and maybe not for the next foreseeable future plan things around him, because
he
I don't know
that
he had deserved that.
Yeah. Well, it's hard when like this ginormous topic comes up in your breakup conversation. Like, it's not like we talked about this and now let's kind of process
through.
You
don't want to like go talk about this first and even see if maybe
it
I'm
just
cool with
so
not.
Like
what if he had this conversation and she was like, actually, I don't care to get married. I just want to be with you.
Yeah.
You know, not that that's what she's at, but like, he didn't even give her a chance to chat about it.
Well, yeah, because when your lives are so intertwined with a person, their issues become yours, right?
Yeah.
So how do you deal with all of a sudden where it's someone saying, no, I have my own issues and I don't want this, and leaving, and you're sitting there like, whoa, I had zero control in what just happened. Mm-hmm. And most of us have a semi tiny control issue of like needing to feel control for like security. So how do you deal with that? And even though I think she's at peace, because obviously she had been feeling that tension.
Her gut clearly knew.
I mean, it must still be just like, I'm sure she's still going to go through many waves of different emotions coming from this. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm excited for her in her life.
1,000%.
And I think that with any breakup, like we've said so many times, this next season, just dedicate so much love and time and support to yourself. Surround yourself by friends. Tell your friends what you need, like up front. Be like, hey, I want to talk crap. Hey, I don't want to talk crap. Like, whatever you need.
And it's okay to go back and forth.
Yeah, let people know.
You can
know.
Hang out with your girlfriends one day and talk.
Yeah.
And then the very next day be like, listen, don't say anything mean.
Totally. You
know, like, but it doesn't matter.
In what you're asking advice on, I think that you guys, maybe there is that out there in the future of coexisting and being peaceful and whatever.
I'm not
saying that's not a possibility, but I do think that you need a beat to just be with yourself, to process, to refine your own foundation before you start to build a new type of friendship with him.
Yeah.
Like, I think you deserve time to just focus on yourself. That's all I'm saying.
1,000%. I completely agree. I think we need to stop giving him what he wants, maybe.
Yeah.
Because he no longer deserves that. He's not your person anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to. You just have to worry about what makes you feel good or bad.
If he wants to see the dog, he can come get the dog.
Yeah.
But are you going to go, you know, he hurt you. And let's not forget that. Yeah. So let's take care of ourselves first before entertaining any possible idea of relationship.
Yeah.
Friendship, whatever.
Oof.
I hate that.
We're triggered.
It's just, this is the kind of stuff. How old is she? Almost 32?
Yeah.
This is and he's the same age?
Yeah.
It feels like something a 23-year-old, 21-year-old would say.
It is a very, like, when you're younger, you usually go through those.
That kind of breakup, what just happened to her, is the type of thing that happens when you're younger.
And still figuring yourself out. Yeah.
You know, you're coming out of high school and your boyfriend breaks up with you because he was like, I don't know that I want to get married. I'm like, of course you don't know. You're 23. Like, you're living life, you know? You don't expect that from a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
So when that's his excuse or reason, it's just a little shocking because you're like, I'm sorry.
Which is
you didn't think this through?
Me, when she was telling me, I was like, huh?
You didn't think this through 4 years ago when we were halfway through our relationship?
I know. It's so hard because I genuinely love him too, but I am mad at him right now.
Figure it out.
Because, it's just hard to watch this happen, but I do.
That scares me.
I think everything in life happens for a reason.
For sure.
And everything, sometimes the most shocking things in life are like just curveballs thrown in there to set you on the course that you need to be on.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would agree. I feel like a lot of the best lessons, a lot of the things I've learned came from very dramatic, very unexpected, the biggest slap in the face. And you're sitting there like, your head's still spinning and you're sitting here going, this is probably good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm learning so much right now. And maybe this sets you up, like Taryn was saying, maybe this sets you up for something in the future. Like, maybe whatever your next step is, you needed to be single for.
Yeah.
Maybe your next, like, few years, you are focusing on your career and building that up for yourself, you know? Or maybe someone else comes along and you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, within the second you meet them, that they're your person. Because you feel so taken care of and you never felt that before, you know? Like, you feel something different. You feel what was lacking in the last one. And maybe because of this past relationship, you can go into the next one and you'll know when it's right because it's so, like, opposite of what you experienced in the past.
Fully.
You know, there's so many reasons why.
Well, and if you
this can help
if
and
you
learn.
Look at your life, like when I think back on my life, and if you were to ask me, like, what are like specific things that shifted you into who you are now, most of them are negative.
Yeah.
Like, quote unquote negative, right?
That is almost always the case.
It's always something that literally knocks you on your butt.
Yeah.
And then the process of getting back up on your feet is so valuable. Whether it's after you got fired from a job, whether it's after you got dumped, whether it's after, like, a loss in your life. Like, the process of how we as human beings are just resilient and we take steps to pull ourselves back up, restructure, shift around things that need to be shifted, and then take that step forward. It always leads you to something that you were meant for.
Yeah. And I think it's so important that, I'm not saying you have to do this alone, because definitely not. You can, like, have your girls around you, your family around you, your friends to support you and help you on this path. But I think it is so important that you do it yourself. Like, you take the first step up. Like, you start dusting off your own shoulders. You go to therapy. You set yourself up for a successful future by doing all of those things for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't let someone come do it for you. I agree. I think you need to have your support system. But I think it's so important that you take hold of your life, like, by the reins, and you're in charge of the next step. Like, that has to be from you, not someone else.
Yeah. And I think, what would you say, like, in times in your life where you got, like, just the crap kicked out of you, like, emotionally, mentally, what would you say is, like, your number one thing you would tell people in getting back up on your feet?
I think, in this specific instance, and in, actually, just period, whether it was a breakup, a family thing, or a work thing, I've had a few instances in my life where I found myself sitting down and writing out what was bad and what was good.
And, oh, interesting.
Kind of letting go of the bad and taking the good.
Interesting.
And I'm not a journaler. I've tried for years, and it just never took. But every one of those serious moments, I ended up journaling during those times, those really stressful times. And I am very visual, so I think lists help me a lot. And seeing, like, let's take the relationship, for example. Like, I had a breakup with a guy, my, like, first love, and I had to write out, like, why we can't be together.
Yeah.
And then I had to take, like, write down, like, what was good about the relationship, what was bad, and I had to, like, let go of it. And same thing, there was one time when I was really happy with the job that I had, and I thought I was moving forward, and then I had to quit, and I ended up back at, like, my first job, and it felt like it's this whole, like, starting over thing, and I was devastated. And again, I had to do the same thing. Like, there are so many reasons why I shouldn't be at that job, and I think it's good for me to see it physically.
That is really cool. I feel like that's brilliant, because I think so often when we do get, like, shocked in life, we either have one of two things, right? Mm-hmm. We marinate on what we're mad about, and we just fixate, and we're angry.
Which is good for a time.
Yeah. Or
a time.
We put things on pedestal and focus on, oh my gosh, but it was this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And almost, like, you know, like, put it into our minds in a way of then we're just longing for it, and we're convinced we could never have better because this was so good.
Yeah.
So I love how you wrote them down as a way of, like, expressing, like, getting it out. Mm-hmm. And then you chose, like, well, these were awesome things. Like, no matter what, how toxic our relationship was, how unhealthy a job was, I still had valuable things that came from that that I can choose to take with me as I move forward
and
onto something new.
Yeah. I think
I love that.
Something I've always struggled with, which you guys know me so well by now, is I'm not good at articulating, at speaking how I feel. So I think when I go through something very big and very life altering, it's very helpful for me, because I'm not good at talking about it, to write it down.
Yeah.
And I've said this again so many times, but I think people come in and out of your lives for a reason. And I think there's nothing wrong in looking at this 9-year relationship and being thankful for the good, but also being okay with looking at the bad and being like, yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's amazing when I refuse to admit in my relationship that anything was wrong, because I was so protective of wanting it to be this beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I had space from being broken up with that I looked back and I was like, what am I so sad about? Like, yeah. It was so blatantly clear that is not something that I want.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of moving forward. And it'll be interesting, like, with every breakup, like, what clarity she's going to get months from now. Like, once she gives herself space to not worry about anyone or to worry about having to be cool around him.
Reputation,
like, yeah, she just, you know? I think she needs like a bubble to process and it'll be interesting. I remember one of my last conversations with my ex, he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm good. And then I was like, you know, I think I really needed space. And he interrupted me and finished my sentence. And he said, oh, to like work on your insecurities, because that was always his number one thing of why we had issues, was because I'm insecure. So I really struggled for years thinking I was an insecure person. And then I realized, no, I was just being treated in a way I shouldn't have. And
you
I was
insecure
sad.
Because he was making creating you feel that. Insecure.
And I remember I looked at him and I kind of smiled and I was like, no, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, I had space to take you off of the pedestal that I put you on. Mm-hmm. And I remember he just looked at me like, oh, you know, yeah. but it was true. It was like, no, I needed space to realize I was giving you power and influence on me that like you did not work for, that, like you did not deserve.
Also, maybe a power that no one person should have.
Exactly.
You know, and I think, you know, love does things to you. And I that's why I think that it sounds fine to be friends right now, because you guys are comfortable with each other. You guys have a life together and you want that. You know, you do love him. You still love him. But I think that's going to change in the future.
Yeah. And like,
just because you feel it now doesn't mean that that'll be there.
And take that pressure off of having to either be one or the other, and just let yourself be like, I am going through breakup. Like, let me process.
Yeah.
And then I'll figure out what is best for me when that comes.
Maybe you want to share custody now.
Yeah.
Maybe in 3 months, you don't want to see his face.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't hang out with him or ever see him for 6 months. And then one day you're ready.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, like,
there is no rule book on how this works.
Yeah.
And to pretend that there is one is just going to hurt yourself, because you're going to have to like pretend like you're fine, or you're going to, you know, have to like fake a smile in like a room full of people that you don't want to be there with your ex. So I think moving forward, check in with yourself every day.
Yeah.
And just see where that leads you. Because I think focusing on yourself for the next foreseeable future is going to be game changing. And I think where you find yourself might even shock you if you allow yourself to just take one day at a time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like with all of you, when we talk about your stories, and you know, we're so particular about our UA fam, like we just love you guys all so much. But I really do believe that everyone is their own catch. And I think when people leave our lives, I think it's okay and it's sad and you mourn it, but ultimately that's that person's loss, and you're going to find a person who's going to stay and who's going to want the same things as you and do the work to stay with you and make a healthy relationship. And that's the person that you're going to be so excited to like put all your effort back into, you know?
Yeah.
So every time a door closes, I think that's just a sign that, oh, we're going in the wrong direction, you know?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm great. So sorry you're going through this.
Yes.
But
I love you, girl. I'm going to call you right after this and tell you what we talked about. Well, thank you so much for writing in. It's funny, like, there's been a couple times where someone was telling me about something and I was like, I think because my mentality, I love our podcast so much that there's certain times where I'm like, oh, you should write in. Like, we should talk about that on the podcast.
I literally
just
had a chat with a friend of mine, and she started up this, she was explaining the situation she's in, and it sparked this whole conversation. And I, at the end, was like, listen, if you feel comfortable, please write it in, because it was just such a great topic. And I was like, this makes me question a lot. And I love that. It's so fun. So I've done that multiple times. Yeah. And I just recently did it yesterday.
Love that. Love that. Well, to everyone who's going through a breakup, we love you. Take time.
I'm so sorry.
Take time. Do what's best
for
you.
Focus on you. Eat, pray, love, baby.
Yeah. Literally, what makes you happy? Yeah. Like, find what makes you happy and do it. And
pasta.
Refill. Eat, wine, pray, and love people.
Coffee.
I read that book all the time when I'm sad because it makes me like
so good.
Re-inspired.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So stupid. Okay. I used to have a job at a calendar factory, but I got fired because I took a couple days off.
My God.
But
oh, bad.
It's good.
All right, guys. You made it to the dad joke. That means you are the absolute best. We love you so much. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We'll talk to you guys soon on the next episode, which will be coming on Monday.
Yeah, well.
Every Monday.
Every Monday.
Or Monday.
Or Monday.
All right.
That's so weird.
Okay. Love you guys.
Bye.